Welcome. Well, you are at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. And we are so delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. You know, we would love to hear from you. So send us an email with your question or your comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And today, we are so delighted to continue our conversation with Joan Watson. Now, Joan is a Catholic speaker, a writer, and an author, and she has spent 20 years helping others encounter Christ through the scriptures, through theology, liturgy, and history. And she is currently the Pilgrim Formation Manager for Verso Ministries. She's authored a great book that we are enjoying and talking about. It's called Opening the Holy Door. And this beautiful book is available at ewtnrc.com. And you can go out to Joan's website. It's joanwatson.faith. And the beautiful thing, you know, here we are, and I hope and pray that your pastor, your priest, is teaching on the Jubilee year, and he's informing you. And this is a great book to accompany you on the journey. And she shared so beautifully, you don't have to go to Rome to experience this pilgrimage. You know, the beautiful thing is this earth is not our home. We're all sojourners in this land, and heaven is our home. And that's what we're hoping for. That's what we're shooting for. And so this journey as a pilgrimage, don't get attached to anything. Maybe in this year of hope, Jesus wants to detach you from the things that this earth that calls you to cling and hold on. So I'm praying for all of you that there's an explosion of hope in your life, that in this beautiful year of the Jubilee, that we as a people of God, that we experience hope, not only for ourselves, for our family, for our marriages, for our children, but then we shine and give that hope away to those who are in need.
So let's do the Jubilee prayer again by Pope Francis. Make it your own. Father in heaven, may the faith you've given us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our brother, and the flame of charity enkindled in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, reawaken in us the blessed hope for the coming of your kingdom. May your grace transform us into tireless cultivators of the seeds of the gospel. May those seeds transform from within both humanity and the whole cosmos in the sure expectation of a new earth, when with the powers of evil vanquished, your glory will shine eternally. May the grace of the Jubilee reawaken in us pilgrims of hope, a yearning for the treasures of heaven. May that same grace spread the joy and peace of our Redeemer throughout the earth. To you, our God, eternally, blessed be glory, praise forever and ever. Amen. Joan Watson, Opening the Holy Door. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. So today we have Joan Watson with us again. She is a Catholic speaker, a writer, and an author. She has spent 20 years helping others encounter Christ through scripture, theology, liturgy, and history. She's a busy girl. She is currently the Pilgrim Formation Manager for Verso Ministries. She's authored a great book, Opening the Holy Door, and it's available at ewtnrc.com. You can go out to her website, joanwatson.faith. Well, Joan, we were sharing about your beautiful book and this beautiful pilgrimage and this beautiful year of hope, right? And that's exciting. And it should recharge us as we're all in these doldrums of January, February, the sky is gray, the sun isn't shining. But in your opening prayer in the Jubilee, it talked about the cosmos. And right now in this week, I hope you're paying attention to the skies and that people are looking up. But there's an alignment of like six or seven planets that we have to look up and we could see them. Like, this hasn't happened in how many years? God is showing out and showing up. And we just have to look up and go, this is amazing. And behold what God is doing in our midst. In this Jubilee year of hope, He's even lining up the planets. So beautiful. So we can't go to Rome. We want to go to Rome to celebrate. But can people participate in this beautiful year of Jubilee of hope through your book? Explain that to them.
Yeah, sure. So that's one of the reasons I wrote the book, was really to bring the Jubilee to everyone, regardless. Obviously, I want people to go to Rome. I work for a pilgrimage company, right? So we have lots of open trips. We're taking people lots of trips. If they want to come, come. But if you can't, there's still, like, the Jubilee is still for you. Mm-hmm. Don't think like, oh, well, the Jubilee is just for those people going to Rome. And so there are lots of different ways to receive grace. One of my favorites, the Pope talks in the, so you can look it up. You can look up the decree on indulgences for the Jubilee year. And it tells you all the different ways to just receive God's grace. That's what it's all about, right? Receiving the Lord's grace. One of my favorites is in the spirit of penance to observe Fridays as a day of penance, and they specifically say to avoid distractions like social media on Fridays. And I'm like, well, whoever wrote this knows me, right? And so there's lots of ways to receive this grace, but I wrote this book because I want people to still love the holy doors and to still love Rome and to still enter into that idea. And so it's I just went through the holy doors myself last week, and I actually wanted to stop and like really look at the doors, because I feel like the doors are mine now, right? I feel very protective of these doors. I've been praying with them for a year. And I actually, the guards kind of rush you through a little bit because they don't want you to pause. So actually my book probably does a better job of bringing the doors to you than if you do go on pilgrimage, because you're kind of rushed through.
Because you can go in slow-mo, right? Yeah. And now not only that, but you're gonna look, you're gonna take in, you're gonna have the visio where you're gonna see, the lectio where you're gonna have your heart, mind, and spirit awakened. Explain how through your book they could participate through the lectio divina and the visio divina.
The format.
So what I do is, so each of the panels depict some scripture story. And some of the stories are depicted very traditionally. There's some traditional elements to it. Sometimes there's a little detail thrown in there that the artist threw in. So I was just intrigued, I think, by these panels. I was really intrigued by the Good Shepherd panel, because I think the Good Shepherd panel depicts the Good Shepherd in a little different way than we see him usually. So I started praying with the image and what we could call visio divina, just sitting with the image and looking at it and noticing these details and asking the Holy Spirit to kind of open these stories up to us anew. Mm-hmm. Some of these stories are so familiar to us. Prodigal son, right? The good shepherd. These stories are so familiar that we, you know, when we hear them preached at Mass, I think we shut our minds off sometimes. You know, this, the Luke, okay, a man had two sons. And you're like, oh, prodigal son, I know this story. Mm-hmm. What did I need to get from the grocery store, right? Mm-hmm. And so you just turn your mind off. And so what I'm hoping to do is through these panels in Visio Divina, entering into these images with prayer, and then Lectio Divina, which is an ancient way of praying with scripture, really putting yourself in the scene, thinking about it, meditating upon it, asking the Holy Spirit to open it to you a new way, that we can receive these stories anew, these stories that might be very familiar to us, and see what the Holy Spirit has for us in these very familiar stories.
And you do that. So you have the images in your book. People can look at the images like you're asking them to do. You reflect a little bit. You're saying, before you do anything, meditate upon this image. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe see yourself in that image. And then you take them to the text, the biblical text, the Lectio Divina, to chew the cud, so to speak, like a cow, seven times before it digests it. You don't ask for seven, but it's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that in and of itself is, I mean, it's a blessed sacrifice, but it's a sacrifice. We spend so much time on so many things, you can't read the scripture associated with it and, you know, do that and see yourself. And the Holy Spirit really does take over.
Yeah.
And you see, who are you in this scene? What person are you? So the images are there, you've got them there, you ask them to look into that, take time in the Holy Spirit to do that, that's a blessing. And who knows what He's gonna say to you, and then read the text, and then, you know, you elaborate some, you make some, you know, really excellent, excellent points. We were mentioning one of the panels, the crucifixion. Mm. And so there's our Lord and the two thieves on either side, and one point you made that was really good, notice that they're equal distance from Jesus. They're the exact same distance, mm-hmm. but somehow their view, their vision of what's going on, their perspective is so different. Because the one, you know, says, we should be here, you know, he shouldn't be here, you know. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom, you know, you'll be with me in paradise. And the other one was kind of railing at him. And that was a powerful point that you made in that we could be the same distance physically with somebody, with the Lord, but have a whole nother perspective. What's your perspective? How do you see yourself? You might identify with either one or Jesus himself.
Yeah. There were times, it was interesting, I prayed with the scriptures, or I prayed with the panels. There were times where I thought, oh no, I've gotten myself into this book, and I'm supposed to be commenting on the panels, and I'm supposed to be getting this like rich insight, and I'd get one of the panels, and I'd be like, oh no, there's nothing here, right? What am I gonna write about? But I would sit with it, and the Holy Spirit gave me something every time. Mm-hmm. And I think it just shows us the richness of, especially the scriptures then, right? Yeah. I mean, we could read the same scripture story every day of our life and come out with something new because the scriptures are living and active. Yeah. And if it's anything that will give us hope this year, it's the scriptures. We have to return to the scriptures. And if Catholics could have this kind of slow, careful reading, Benedict XVI actually said that Lectio Divina would bring about the new springtime in the church. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I thought how interesting, he who's so close to John Paul II and who used this phrase so frequently, that Benedict thought it was the word of God. But it's this close, careful reading that I think sometimes we've lost in our society. We skim, we're Twitter readers, mm-hmm. right? And so to make ourselves slow down, like you mentioned, Jim, yeah. and to like make ourselves really enter into it slowly and intently and to take the time right. to do that.
And that's what renews our minds. And that's what transforms our hearts, right? But we have to take time to do it. So you said that the Good Shepherd panel is what inspired you to write the book. How so?
So if you look at the image, and we can look at it on the screen, the Good Shepherd, I think, so often is depicted as kind of just standing there with the sheep, very solid, very like heavily clad. This Good Shepherd's very different, and this Good Shepherd's stretching. He's actually cruciform. He's lightly clad, and there's like this almost danger in that he might not get to the sheep.
That was great.
And it was just really like, that's what the Lord does for me. Mm-hmm. And I actually put it after the crucifixion. I know I didn't go in order, I didn't go in order of the panels, which not everybody's
world.
It really did.
But I saw it as Christ going to the abode of the dead. As Christ, after he died, went into Sheol, he went into the very end for us.
Yeah.
He did that for us out of love for us. He didn't just die for us. He went to the abode of the dead to find that lost soul. Mm-hmm. And so it was really in meditating on that Good Shepherd image that I thought, I want to bring these images to more people who might just walk through the holy door in Rome and never even pay attention to them.
Right. And to have that amazing hope and that extension of mercy to say, therefore the grace of God go I, Lord, it is me. I'm the one that needs to be going out. Or for the mother whose son is lost, whose daughter is lost, whose husband might be an alcoholic or the wife might be an alcoholic. I mean, it's those things where we have to believe that God's going to rescue and heal and deliver.
Amen. Yeah, you mentioned that our Lord looked pained. Was there a stone there or something?
Like he's kind of holding on.
But he stretched out. And so you're saying, it really was a different view of the Good Shepherd and focus upon, you know, that lamb or the sheep. It was really like, you understand, he's pained. Yeah. He's pained to do this. He sacrificed himself to do this for you. He wanted to do that for you.
There's also the little sheep at the top of the picture that stayed in the flock. And, you know, sometimes I'm that sheep that stays in the flock mm-hmm. and is obedient. You know, I keep the commandments. Yeah. And so it's easy for me to kind of judge the sheep that wanders and say, Lord, like, I was faithful to you. Mm-hmm. Where are you for me? Right. And so I think to put ourselves in both of those images, because a lot of us can be judgmental and remain in the flock. Mm-hmm. And then we're not actually in the flock. Right.
Which gets back to the prodigal son, right? You have the son who is filled with pride and then the other one that comes back home. But really, for you in that panel, you really focus upon the father's love, which I think is great. Mm. You know, should that parable be called the prodigal son, or should it be called the father's love for his sons?
Yeah.
And so you really place that at the center. I love the panels. These are two panels that are side by side. So you entitled it The High Cost of Mercy and Hope in the Face of Sin. High Cost of Mercy is, you know, Peter and Jesus, and Peter saying, how many times must I forgive? Seven? And Jesus says, 70 times seven. So you unpack all that, and then the next panel is Peter's denial of the Lord. I don't know the man. I don't know the man. And it's just like, wow, is that connected? And you can just see the Lord looking at him and say, Peter, you're really going to need this because you're going to do something really awful.
Those panels, I think, are really important for us today because we can get really discouraged when we see Peter, right? When we see the hierarchy of the church like hurt us or fail us. And Peter failed. And I talk about it in the book. Like, how do we have hope in the face of failure and our failure and the failure of those around us? And so we always have to go back to Christ and his mercy and his love. Nothing's new under the sun, right? And so to really anchor our hope, right? Anchor, that's the sign of hope is the anchor, right? So throw your anchor in the deep riches of God's mercy and find your hope there. Don't find your hope in a leader, in a politician, in a scientist, right? Find your hope in the Lord. And I think that's really important for us today.
Yeah, because all of those external things that we do, they're all fleeting and they disappoint. Even in marriage, I disappoint Jim, he disappoints me. It's kind of like, why didn't you know that, you know? But Jesus, he never disappoints. Yeah. He might correct, he might convict, but he never disappoints. It's like, I know better. And that's where the trust and the hope and the faith comes in on this journey, on this pilgrimage of holiness that we'll be taking all the days of our life until our dying breath. And so in this year of Jubilee of Hope, we want to be the best version of ourselves. And it's like, Lord, I'm waning, I'm waxing, I'm missing. God, come and rescue me and infuse me with this beautiful hope. Open my eyes that I could see in the book and to hear and to see, and open my heart that you would have your way with me.
We're going to take a break and hold you over for the final segment. I hope you all are really benefiting by the show today and that you will get the book, The Opening of the Holy Door, Hope-Filled Scripture Reflections from St. Peter's Basilica, Joan Watson, EW10RC.com. It's a great read, but it's a great see. It's great to see the images. So you got both the seeing and the reading and the power of the Holy Spirit operating. It's a great book for this year of hope. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, we are finishing up our conversation with Joan Watson, who is a Catholic speaker and an author. We also want to invite you to go out to EWTN.com/Jubilee, where people have done some great work for you to incorporate the year of hope, a Jubilee of hope, into your own life. So tell our family how we as a people of God can be pilgrims of hope in this world. How can we do that?
Well, I don't think it needs to be that complicated. I think it can be something as easily as smiling when you go to the grocery store, right? Even if you're in a bad mood, not letting that affect you as how you interact with people. I actually end the book with some prompts of like going forward in hope. How can we show hope? Not gossiping, right? Not spreading, you know, rumors, not being on social media and being Debbie Downers all the time, right? There's so much temptation to be just gloomy and just to shake that off and pray to the Lord. But praying for hope, I think, is crucial because we can't give what we don't have, right? And so praying that act of hope, there's an act of hope, that's a prayer.
Right.
Praying for that when you do feel hopeless, turn to the Lord and ask him to give you hope and then spread that. Like, be that encouragement for others. Be that Barnabas, that man of encouragement for others.
So true. Now, so how can people get in touch with you? Because I think that you can do, you can incorporate. We have Lent that's coming right around the corner. In the first week of March is Ash Wednesday. And so people want to incorporate this year of Jubilee of hope into their Lenten journey, lest we miss that, right? I mean, here we take the Lenten journey. It's like, oh, you know, then we have the resurrection. Well, did we bring hope into that? How can they get in touch with you and make that part of their pilgrimage?
So if they go to my website and sign up for my email list, so joanwatson.faith, and sign up for my email list, we're actually going to be sending out kind of a curriculum to do this during Lent. Mm-hmm. Someone was like, why'd you write a 12-chapter book? I can't fit 12 chapters in Lent. Mm-hmm. We're going to help you do that so mm-hmm. that you can make this your Lenten study.
Excellent.
It's joanwatson.faith. They can get your email.
Yes.
And it's amazing because you're telling me you will actually go out to address churches and do a mission, however short, however long, they can get you personally, and they can get the book. I mean, this is just a great opportunity for you. And then you also give missions, not necessarily on the book, although that's what you're really doing now. What might that look like?
So I love going out to parishes. My love is teaching people in the pew that are sinners just like me, trying to be holy. And I talk a lot about how to be holy in our everyday life, how to be a saint without being weird, mm-hmm. right? Just being a normal everyday Catholic, but being on fire for the faith in our mm-hmm. everyday life. And what does holiness look like in the everyday?
Mm-hmm. Become who you were meant to be and you'll set the world on fire, right. Said Catherine of Siena. Right? And that's what we want to do.
We just have a minute left. Just share with the family your hope for them this year, the Holy Year.
Yeah, I just hope that people fall in love with the Lord, fall in love with Him a little bit more, especially in His Word. If we could have Catholics on fire with the Lord's Word, then we will be able to be preachers of hope. Mm-hmm. Because as you mentioned, hope does not disappoint, right? Mm-hmm. Romans 5:5. But we have to fall in love with Him so that we can share Him with others. Mm-hmm. And so if Catholics can start reading Scripture, be a happy lady.
You're right.
Joan, thank you so much for being with us. And this is a wonderful, wonderful book. And welcome to the EW10 family. Thank you so much. Opening the Holy Door, Hope-Filled Scripture Reflections from St. Peter's Basilica, Joan Watson. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone opens that door, I will come in. I will make my home within him. We will live in him. And so let's open the door wide this year. God bless you. And all of your loved ones, you're an important part of this EW10 family. You're never alone, and you're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.